Being a private investigator means two things. You can be sure you'll run into trouble, and you can never be sure you'll get out of it. Well, there's not much you can do about it, I guess, except, like Julie always says,
walk softly, Peter Troy.
And now Peter Troy investigates a far-out whale.
After the First World War, there sprang up a clutch of writers who got themselves dubbed the Lost Generation. Now, Kerouac and many like him are pretty serious writers, and I, for one, would never like to be found knocking a serious artist of any kind. But I do not have a great deal of time for those weirdos who like to call themselves beat and aim to live the part by working as little as possible, washing but never, and making with a nutty kind of dialogue that nobody else can understand, unless maybe he's a bird. Now, this latter is something that Julie's inclined to criticize me for, and I plead a little guilty, which is the easiest way out. However, the characters I'm talking about leave me for dead. I am, of course, talking about those oddballs whom squares like myself have come to know as beatniks.
May I take it, then, that we understand each other?
Crazy.
Now, what does that mean?
Like you dig English?
I understand English, if that's what you mean, young man. It would help if you would speak it.
I get the message.
Well, presumably that means you do understand our bargain. All right, then. Now, there's one other thing. Oh, would you mind stopping that eternal drumming? I can't think with that noise.
Noise? Oh, man, but you're sick.
Sick? I'm perfectly well.
A guy was way out there, like I was getting sense. You dig asteroid 4,073,000? And you give me this noise, Jess?
It is no use. I can't understand a word you're saying, but I want you to understand one thing more. If Robin finds out anything about our arrangement, then the whole thing is cancelled as far as I'm concerned.
Crazy. Oh, but about the bread.
Bread?
You know, like bread. Now, what the squares call bread. Money.
Oh, that? I told you. £100 now, and £100 a month for the next 6 months. After that, it won't matter.
The first I heard about this particular piece of buffoonery was when Robin Garraway came to see me. Robin, although you wouldn't be sure from her name, was a girl. As it happened, you couldn't be sure of that from her appearance either, a fact which I found somewhat disconcerting because, believe it or not, I come from an old-fashioned school that holds that men should look like men and dolls should look like dolls. Even my secretary, Julie, bless her cold heart, was not a little thrown when Robin slouched into the office demanding to see me. And, in fact, so surprised was Julie that she showed us straight in. I'm not sure whether she did this by mistake or to punish me for some ancient misdemeanor, but whatever it was, I didn't like it.
Hi, Troy boy. Skin me.
I would imagine she is inviting you to shake hands.
Oh, he is? Well, she is.
Wow, what a drag. The other end of Squaresville.
Look, what is all this, Julie? I'm very busy.
Don't bug me, Seamus. If it's the bread, like I'm loaded. Here.
Yeah, what's this?
Count it.
You count it, will you, Julie? My rough guess is that there's £500 in that little lot.
You dig, Peeper.
On the contrary, I do not dig. Now, I am very busy, and I have no time for weirdos in sloppy black sweaters and tight pants with their faces half obscured by dark glasses and hair that hasn't been washed for a month.
Man, oh, man. So sick.
£500 is right, Mr. Troy.
Okay. For £500, I should do what? And make it fast, huh, so I can throw you out even faster?
Like, there's this square who bugs me every night.
Mm-hmm. And what do you want me to do, shoot him?
Like persuade him to split, that's all.
Tell me something. Are you really a girl?
Huh?
You heard me.
So it's the whole truth, man.
Well, we got that settled.
At Pete's place. Every night he's there, and he really bugs me, man.
Pete's place?
Sure. Same as you, man. That's why I dig you. Pete. Same as you.
They must have named a beat joint after you, Mr. Troy. Quite a claim to fame you have.
Ha ha. Mm-hmm.
Say, Queen Anne, why don't you split the scene, huh?
What?
Like your drag, you know.
Really? This is getting a bit much.
Yeah. Now, I got news for you, chick. You are going to split the scene in right now and take your bread and blow.
Well, of all the incredible characters, did you ever see anything like her?
Well, for once, I'm not even sure it was a her.
Oh, she sounded like one, and a young one at that. I'd say she was only about 20 or so.
Well, I wouldn't risk any money on it. When creatures arrive from outer space, how are you supposed to know their ages?
Well, there didn't seem to be so much wrong with it that a good bath and a change of clothes wouldn't fix.
A change of dialogue would be enough. All that crazy beat talk. Just a sad old imitation of the thing they started in the States, and phony as a $9 bill.
Anyway, we can put a mark up on the wall.
How's that?
But it's the first time you've thrown a girl out of your office.
Julie, are you sure it was a girl? Wasn't a trained monkey or something?
I don't know. I'm curious.
You would be. That figures. That's dames for you. Now I suppose you want me to go looking for her and get a life story, huh?
Well, you were rather hasty, Pete.
Me? Mm. Hasty? She was insulting you right, left and center, and I got rid of her. And that's all the thanks I get.
But did you notice she seemed to have a well-educated voice?
No, I did not notice. I never bother to notice things about dolls who crawl out from some zoo.
I wonder how she got like that. And then there's all that money.
Yeah. Well, maybe she robs banks on a day off.
It's very odd. What was the name of that place? Pete's place, wasn't it?
Yeah, what of it?
Well, I was just thinking. You're not doing anything special tonight, and neither am I.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Well, it can't do any harm just to go and look, can it? We might get a laugh or two out of it.
Julie, I am not going to any crummy, smoky beat joint to listen to a lot of nuts spouting meaningless poetry.
Oh.
Now, you can take that appealing look off your face. I am not going, and that is final. Well, in the best vaudeville tradition, the man says to the girl, we are not going, and that's final. And in the next scene, there they are anyway. You remind me to see my psychiatrist, Julie.
Well, I think it's rather fun. Oh, dear. You were right, it is rather smoky.
Smoky and crummy. Coffee tastes like it was brewed in a paint pot and strained through a very old sock.
Oh, what funny things you've tasted.
Huh?
I wouldn't know what coffee brewed in a paint pot, etc. tasted like.
Oh, my, but aren't we on the ball tonight? Mm. You should be up there on that platform doing your stuff.
I say, Pete, aren't they quiet, though? Well, doesn't anything, well, you know, happen?
Oh, what did you expect, the Dance of the Seven Veils?
Oh, hello. Music stopped.
Well, that's something to be thankful for. Hey, look.
Hmm? Oh, it's your friend.
Oh, now, don't blame her on me, honey. You let her into the office.
Well, she's going to sing or something. She's going up onto the platform.
Just so she doesn't give us the beat arrangement of Land of Hope and Glory.
Shh, she's going to start.
Oh, I can hardly wait.
The flowers that bloom in the spring are fingers of time. Half bent, half sent, yearning, stretching, down from the lowest, up from the highest, kneading and ever bleeding, never ceding, urging for hands drawing, heart enslaved, bold-faced. Ergo, a man. The face inward crumpled, an end before beginning, arising, triumphant and downcast, going away, 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 away.
Oh, that was just darling, that was.
Oh, for heaven's sake, what was all that about?
You didn't get the message. Oh, it was quite clear to me.
What?
Yeah, the girl is a nut.
Hmm.
Hey. Yeah, she's talking to someone.
Yes, I noticed that man before. He doesn't seem to belong here. He's too old and too... what is it? Square?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Hello, he's trying to drag her off out of the place by the look of it.
Pete, shouldn't you do something?
Well, there's no need to. The lady already has a knight in shining armor rushing to her aid.
Oh, another beatnik. He must be a boyfriend. Oh, and hit him.
Hey, this looks like getting rough.
Oh, Pete, do something.
Yeah, I will. I'm getting us out of here right now. Oh. Come on.
Miss Cynthia Higgins, Mr. Troy.
Oh, yes. Please take a seat, Miss Higgins.
No, thank you.
Here.
Well, now, how can I help you, Miss Higgins?
You won't need me, Mr. Troy, will you?
Hmm? Oh, no, I guess not, Miss Summers. Oh, but aren't you going to take notes, like always?
I don't believe it will be necessary on this occasion. Miss Higgins is rather different from some of our clients.
Oh, yeah.
What did she mean by that? How am I different?
Well, it's just that, as a rule, I like to have Miss Summers present when I have a lady client in the office.
No? Why is that?
Well, if you need to ask, ma'am, there's no point in my telling you. Now, what did you want to see me about, huh?
I've made some inquiries about you, Mr. Troy. I've been given to understand that your reputation is very good.
Oh, well, you'll get no argument from me on that.
The matter I wish to place in your hands is of a rather delicate nature and calls for the utmost discretion.
Well, so far, I'm with you, ma'am.
What? You have an odd way of expressing yourself, I must say. You're not one of those strange beatniks or something, are you?
Beatniks? Oh, no, ma'am, I'm a Canadian.
Apparently you don't know what I'm talking about. I was not inquiring as to your nationality.
Well, shall we stick to business, ma'am? It might be simpler.
No, by all means. I want you to find a man. My brother-in-law, to be exact.
And nobody could ask you to be more exact than that.
I may as well tell you that until recently I thought he was dead. He went overseas some years ago, and nobody had heard of him.
But now?
He's turned up in London.
Oh?
Yes, and he narrowly missed being arrested last night.
Arrested? Well, what for?
Brawling. Assault and battery, that sort of thing. He was involved in a fight in some revolting little place in the West End.
A nightclub?
No, I suppose some people would call it that. I really don't know what I would call it.
Well, does it have a name?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Its devotees call it Pete's Place.
I sat back in my chair and looked hard at Miss Cynthia Higgins. And not so much because I wanted to look hard at an old lady like her. She had too much the appearance of having just been sucking a lemon. No, what was getting at me was the occurrence of one of those coincidences that occasionally crop up in my kind of business. Coincidences that might make things a whole heap easier if they occurred more often. Now, yesterday, a creepy young character had come to see me about some guy who, she said, was bothering her. Last night, Julie and I had gone, out of Julie's unreasonable curiosity, to a crummy beatnik joint, where we'd seen a character annoy this young doll and get himself involved in a fight. And today, Miss Higgins comes and tells me that the guy she once located was last night involved in a brawl at this same beatnik dive. It was reason enough for me to take some time off to wonder at the workings of fate or some such.
Why are you staring at me like that, Mr. Troy?
Hmm? Oh, was I staring? I'm sorry. But tell me about this guy you want me to find. You say he was involved in a fight at this Pete's place.
Yes, that's right. I believe the police were called, and he was nearly arrested.
Only nearly? Did he start the fight or what?
Oh, I don't know the details, but I understand he provoked some young man into fighting, but he escaped before the police could arrest him.
The young guy, you mean?
No, the man I want you to find.
Oh, what's his name?
I don't know.
What? Miss Higgins, how can you want me to find a man whose name you don't even know?
Well, I do know his name, but I prefer not to give it to you. In any case, he won't be using that name, so it doesn't matter.
Of all the crazy... Okay, Miss Higgins, what about a description?
No, I can give you that.
And why do you want this guy?
I'm afraid I can't tell you that either.
Oh, great.
Now, I'm sorry to sound so mysterious, Mr. Troy, but I assure you I shouldn't do so unless it were absolutely necessary. And I must ask you to observe the utmost discretion yourself.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. I was just about to give the whole story to the newspapers. I always do that.
You what?
Oh, forget it, Miss Higgins. I'll just get my secretary in, and you can give us a detailed description of this guy. And there will also be the matter of my retainer.
Well, she paid up your retainer like a lamb. You can't say she isn't a good payer.
About that old girl, I can say anything I like. She is not my type.
Of course not. In the first place, she's over 25. And in the second, she probably never did look like Marilyn Monroe or Jane Russell.
No, but did you ever see a picture Boris Karloff made called The Bride of Frankenstein?
Oh, are you kidding? She'd be a bit old as the bride, wouldn't she?
Who's talking about the bride? Anyway, we've taken her good money, so I'd better do something about this character we saw annoying that beatnik. What was the name? Robin something.
Robin Garraway.
Yeah. You know something?
What?
For once, I'm glad you are a woman and consequently curious.
Oh, it would have sounded nicer if you'd left out the curious bit.
It was a lucky break going to that joint last night. At least I know more than Cynthia thinks I do. And maybe I can get some more information from our dear friend, Inspector Caswell.
Well, there it is, Troy. Rather routine sort of thing, you know. Bit of a brawl over some girl. Police took a few names, asked a few questions. An undertaking was given that the damage to the place would be paid for. No arrests were made.
All in a night's work, huh? Yeah, Inspector, well, about these names...
Yeah, what's your interest in this matter?
Oh, now, Inspector. Breaking a confidence and all that, you know.
Yes. What you mean is you intend to pump me for information, but you're not going to tell me anything in return. Now, that's friendship for you.
Well, I might just tell you something, if you're good.
Thanks. I feel much better now.
Yeah, well, these names the constable took, where are they?
Oh, let's see. There was a girl by the name of Robin Garraway.
Mm-hmm.
Funny, that seems to ring a bell. I wonder why.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you're psychic. Now, what about this girl?
Two men fought over, and of course others joined in, you know?
Oh, such fun. Who were the guys who fought over him?
Well, apparently this girl's a beatnik of sorts and has a boyfriend to match. And this other man was a much older type.
Yeah, let's get this straight. This old guy accosted the girl and her young beatnik boyfriend objected, and there was a fight between the two guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the old guy had been frequenting Pete's place and trying to make time with the girl, right?
Well, if you know all that, I can't imagine what you're bothering me for.
The name of the beatnik boyfriend, please, Inspector.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that. King, Ronald King. His friends call him just the King.
Mm. And the old guy, the one who was annoying the girl, what's his name?
I don't know. The constable didn't get it. He managed to get away from the place before he could be questioned.
Well, you're not much of a help after all, are you?
I'm doing my best, Troy. Anyway, I think you might assume that the man's name was Garraway.
What?
According to our information, the young fellow, King, and the girl complained to the constable that the older man kept yelling at the girl that he's her father.
Her father?
Yes. Then the girl said she never set eyes on him before. What do you make of that, eh?
So,
Ronald King?
So?
You're not an easy man to find. They've been all over looking for you.
So?
Oh, what are you, a broken record or something? Now, come on, open up and let me in. I want to talk to you. I said, open up! Now, you just listen to me, chum. To your little pals, you may be the king, but to me, you are but nothing. You're just a little creep who needs a shave and a bath, and I am very tough, unpleasant. And I carry a .38 snub-nosed revolver, and I just love to use it on people.
Look, what's with you, man? I ain't done nothing.
It happens you've been keeping company with a girl by the name of Robin Garraway, in whom I am very interested.
She your chick or something?
You might put it like that.
Crazy man. You can have her.
What? You mean she doesn't mean anything to you?
But like nothing, man. It was bread, that's all.
Bread? Money? Now, come on. Who paid you to worm your oily way in with Robin?
Jenkinson, I heard the doorbell. Who was it?
It was I, Aunt Cynthia.
Robin? What are you doing here?
I decided to come home. It seemed the most sensible thing to do.
Oh. Robin, I told you when you went off with those dreadful picnic friends of yours that I would make no attempt to bring you back.
And you didn't. But I decided that that life is not for me.
Oh, did you? Well, that's all very well, but did it occur to you that it might not suit me to have you back here at Garraway Hall?
Aunt Cynthia, you told me my father was dead.
Well, so he is. He went overseas years ago. His father disowned him. He left your poor mother alone.
My mother wasn't very poor. Grandfather saw to that. He let her live here. And he let you, my mother's sister, live here at the Hall with every comfort.
Yes, he did. And you may as well know, Robin, I intend to go on living here.
I've never said you shouldn't.
You? Why should you have anything to say about it at all? Who are you? A mere child with no sense. You go rushing off to live in some horrible little room in the East End. You start talking and dressing like those dreadful people.
I wanted to find out what the other side of life was like. Whether it was really something worthwhile, instead of spending all my time just living in the lap of luxury.
Well, you can go back there. You're not wanted here. You're exactly like your father. Absolutely no sense of responsibility.
Aunt Cynthia, I met my father last night.
What?
He'd been coming to Pete's place. Somehow he'd found out I was there. He wanted me to leave there and not go back. There was a fight and he disappeared.
Oh, really, this is too absurd. Some dreadful man comes along and says it's your father.
And what's more, he is.
What, Mr. Troy? I must protest.
Oh, this is my secretary, Miss Summers. You've met, of course.
Hello, Miss Higgins. Oh, but surely this can't be Robin.
That's right, Miss Summers.
Mr. Troy, you are intruding on a private conversation between me and my niece.
Oh. Now, would it have anything to do with the fact that in another few months, when she's 21... she comes into her grandfather's fortune?
What?
But only on condition that you're living here at Garraway Hall at the time, Robin. That's why your Aunt Cynthia paid Ronald King good money to keep you away from here, living in the East End as a beatnik.
Aunt Cynthia? You didn't.
Of course I did. And why not? Under your grandfather's will, Garraway Hall would go to me if you were not here at the time you turned 21. While I've lived here so long, I've come to regard it as my home.
You see, your father found out about the terms of the will, Robin, of which your aunt kept you ignorant, and came back to try to get you to return to your life here.
Unfortunately, he went about it all rather foolishly.
Oh, where is he? I must see him.
At police headquarters. We'll take you there. And it'll be a pleasure. I must say, now that you've got rid of that terrible beat outfit and started dressing like a girl, Robin, you look terrific.
You're beginning to bug me, man.
Huh?
So, like, walk softly, Peter Troy?
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.